Welcome to Big Shakti's Light on Yoga and Meditation podcast. My name is Dr. Swami Shankardev. I'm a yoga acharya, medical doctor, psychotherapist, and Vedic astrologer. And I'm a co-creator of Big Shakti along with my partner, Jane Stevenson. Following our episode on self-awareness, self-regulation, and self-mastery, which was episode 13 of our podcast series, quite a lot of people have written to us asking which meditation practice they should start with and how to use all the various meditations that we have on our website. So, which meditations are particularly suited to cultivating self-awareness? Which ones are suited for self-regulation? And is there a path that can be followed to support successful meditation practice? And these are the questions we've been getting. And they're great questions because we do need to understand what techniques are available and what they're for, how to apply them, and so on. So I'll try to do that today. But first, what do we mean by success in meditation? Initially, we can say that success in meditation means that you're experiencing a sense of being more relaxed, you have a calmer, stronger mind, more resilient emotions, and you feel more connected to yourself and perhaps to something greater in life. And these result from you being able to self-regulate and create positive feelings. And the term for positive or good feelings is euphoria, from the Greek eu, good, phoria, feelings. So there's a degree of euphoria. But the ultimate definition of success in meditation is being able to remain self-aware under all circumstances, whether you feel good or bad. And in the great spiritual text, the Bhagavad Gita, the ultimate state of well-being is called steady wisdom, sthita prajna. This is a state in which you are affected by life, but not disturbed by anything that arises in you or in life. You don't lose your center or your sense of self under any circumstance. And this is a great thing to achieve. Until that occurs, if our center is not solid, we need life to be stable. If life is not stable and we don't have a center, we become destabilized. But if we have a solid center, then no matter what happens in life, we don't lose that center, and then we're better able to manage whatever arises. And this is the ultimate mastery of self-regulation, the ability to manage ourselves no matter what's going on. So for most of us, though, that's an ideal, an aspiration. And for most of us, we feel good. Well, that's great. But what happens when we don't feel so good? Can we stay self-aware when we're not feeling good? And this is where self-regulation or learning self-regulation comes in, because the more you can self-regulate, the more you can manage to stay calm and grounded and centered when you're not feeling so good. And this is where the definition of true success in meditation comes in, where we ask ourselves, can we remain self-aware, strong, centered and grounded, facing whatever arises, knowing that we have confidence in ourselves and that we can manage whatever comes. And this is what we're aiming for on the success path. And so to achieve this during the good times, you have a variety of techniques that you can apply, you can learn and practice, and you gain a toolkit of different techniques that you can use to keep working on and developing yourself to improving your body and mind and connecting to spirit. And then during the difficult times, you have the knowledge and experience and the techniques that you can fall back on that are well rehearsed and that will enable you to remain strong and stable and self-centered while you manage whatever it is going on in your life or the lives of your loved ones. And being self-centered here is a positive, not a negative thing. So today I want to outline our approach to the yoga and meditation success path and show you how each meditation fits into a path. And of course, for some people, they feel they only need one meditation technique and that's it, and they're happy with that, and they don't need anything else. For others, practicing a technique leads them to a certain place in themselves where they recognize that there's more they can do. And we've had several students say to us, look, I'm very happy with what I've got. And we've said to them, that's great, but look, if you want to, and there's no harm in trying out other techniques that might give you some additional benefits that you previously didn't think possible. For many of those students, once they've tried those techniques, they've said to us that they can feel these deep shifts internally, and they're very grateful for the opportunity to learn these practices. Now, having said this, ultimately, at a very advanced level of attainment, you will only need one technique, but that usually comes later once you've gained certain skills and abilities and a deeper understanding of spiritual life. Until that time, we here at Big Shakti offer a comprehensive approach to fostering self-awareness and self-regulation, which ultimately lead to self-mastery. And when you get to the stage of self-mastery, then you can choose one technique and practice that to completion. And then that will take you probably to the end of the journey. So the success path is a path that you can follow that's easy to fit into your busy life and can provide many of the things that you need for your life and that you seek for happy, successful, joyful meditation practice. So we call it a success path because we believe that if you follow this particular training sequence, you will gain all the things that yoga and meditation promise. A success path is a virtuous circle where each stage of the self-development journey naturally leads to and supports the next. It creates a sustainable, self-reinforcing journey of personal growth. It's a sure way to navigate through the various forms of meditation to achieve a calm, strong, integrated mind and a foundation for higher spiritual attainment. The very first stage is the cultivation of relaxation. And even though we think that self-awareness is the most important thing in meditation, the first step has to be, for most people, a graduated, systematic approach to relaxation. The journey begins with this because self-awareness is very difficult if you're not relaxed. If you're tense, stressed, anxious, or struggling with life's problems, your awareness will be pulled towards the problem and away from yourself. Therefore, relaxation is the first step and a fundamental prerequisite for both health and for ongoing self-development. A relaxed body and mind form the foundation for building more advanced practices. And we have two main guided meditations that we focus on for relaxation. The first is the Three Easy Steps to Deep Relaxation Guided Meditation Series. This series systematically deconstructs relaxation meditation into its three parts: body awareness, and breath control. And each step takes you progressively deeper into an experience of relaxation, which builds, and relaxation can be stored in your body in the same way that stress is stored. You want to store relaxation. Initially, you'll learn to recognize where you unconsciously store your tension in your body and how stress builds up and adversely affects you. And then you'll learn to remove stress and store relaxation, building feelings of vitality and strength and well-being. The most powerful of all the relaxation meditation techniques is Yoga Nidra, which induces deep relaxation, ideally while you remain awake and aware while in the lying position. And this is not easy because initially most people sleep, they're tired, they're stressed, they're exhausted from their busy lives, And yoga nidra is wonderful and very powerful as a way of recouping energy and reducing the adverse effects of stress. But once you get past this stage and you have recouped your energy and you can stay awake, yoga nidra can powerfully reinforce self-awareness because you have to stay awake. You have to stay self-aware as you move through the various layers of your body, from the gross to the more subtle, into the psyche, and eventually, if you can, into the spirit. And as you stay awake, you become more self-aware, you become aware of your unconscious mental, emotional, and psychic patterns, and you're able to release some of these deep-seated stresses and access your strengths and manage some of the negative patterns that have been undermining your life and making you miserable. The second stage begins once you've attained a degree of relaxation and when you begin to cultivate self-awareness. This is when you start true self-awareness training. You've mastered relaxation to some degree, or you've got a sense of relaxation that you can relax when you need to, and then your focus can shift to the first of the self-awareness practices, which are also called mindful self-observation. And the main practice for this is our Inner Silence Antamon series. This practice starts with awareness of sensation because it's very important to build that ability to become both self-aware, aware of yourself, and aware of the object of meditation at the same time, and to hold that duality. I'm aware of myself, and there's a sound or a vision or a touch or a smell or a taste, and I begin to develop this capacity to dissociate from the experience and to become more self-conscious and not get lost in the object, not to get lost in the experience, sort of to maintain yourself at the same time. And we start with sounds. Sounds are the easiest of all the sensations to work on, and that's the first track on our meditation series. And this practice can translate to awareness of taste when you're eating, or, as we said, with touch, smell, or vision. Any of the senses can be used. And awareness of sensations enables you to develop this quite distinct sense of yourself as an observer, being very separate from the object you're observing. And this enables your meditation to evolve, because ultimately the definition of meditation is the ability to be aware of yourself as an observer, to be aware of the object of meditation at the same time, and to use a technique to unify yourself with the object of meditation, but not losing your sense of self. And once you have a sense of how to separate yourself from the act of observation, you become a passive witness while observing sensations. And then you can try to hold this witness position while you observe your mind. And if you can do this, you will no longer be pulled into the mind. If you're pulled into the mind, it's like being inside a washing machine and tumbling around. The problem of being inside a washing machine is that all the controls are on the outside. So in order to be free from being tumbled around, you need to get out of the washing machine and access the controls. And this is what happens with inner silence. When you can activate the sense of self, you activate the sense of yourself as separate from the mind, then you're free, you're outside of the mind, you're no longer being tumbled around by the mind. You're outside looking in. You're self-aware, you're more identified with that unchanging self which transcends the mind, and you can now see the mind and its constantly changing patterns of energies. You start to recognize all your habitual thought patterns and emotional reactions. And then as you develop more of your capacity for self-regulation, you can begin to influence your mind if you want to, or you can just stay self-aware. It's up to you. The more self-regulation techniques you know, the more you can influence the egoic mind and the deep psyche, which houses all the powerful forces and archetypes that drive your inner and outer life. Inner silence meditation techniques will build a kind of control and objectivity that will enable you to develop the sense of self-control, to observe your thoughts and emotions and sensations without judgment, and to begin to understand the mind. You can see what's going on inside the mind, and therefore you can access your strengths, and this is powerfully life-affirming. And then you can seek ways to deal with your weaknesses. And so then we move to the third stage of self-awareness and self-regulation, which is mastering our energy, our life force, prana. In this stage, you're building your capacity to make positive changes in your body and mind by focusing more on self-regulation. This is where self-regulation really comes in. You've done a bit of self-awareness work. Now let's start to build our strength. Let's try to feel better. And the good thing about this stage is that the more self-regulation you build, the more you'll enhance your capacity for self-awareness. It's a loop. One builds the other. And in the prana practices, there are various powerful guided meditation programs that will take your regulation, self-regulation mastery to a different level. The first technique that we really practice for developing prana, energy, is Ujjayi Pranayama. This is an advanced form of diaphragmatic breathing. It's used in many of our guided meditations. And I should say at this point that there's a very strong connection between prana and the mind. And we see this in the tantric symbols of the two serpents coiling around the spinal cord. One of those serpents is prana for physical vitality and energy, and the other serpent is symbolic for the mind, for the energies of the mind. So these two forces are intertwined. So if you influence your prana, you influence your mind. And if you influence your mind, you influence your prana, your life force, your energy. And once you've developed prana, then you can begin to practice pranic healing meditations. This is a series that uses the breath and visualization to direct prana to specific parts of the body. And this will facilitate healing and revitalization. And by mastering prana, you'll improve your physical health and you'll gain greater control of your mind and emotions. As I said, there's this wonderful interaction between prana and the mind, and you'll feel much better. You feel strong, resilient. You have energy to power your thinking, to power your digestion, to power your heart and breathing, and your whole capacity to live is enhanced. So you feel charged up with energy. Once you can charge your body with energy, then there's a very important series of meditations that we teach called the Core Strength Calm Mind series, which teach you to both manipulate your vital life force and to use that energy to manage stress and face the difficulties of life with greater confidence and resilience. The main practice here is grounding. So grounding means that you can remain grounded and stable in the present moment, present and self-aware while facing stress and life's challenges. The guided meditation techniques in this series empower you to develop a more accepting, courageous spirit by strengthening your deep energetic, psychological and emotional core. The more grounded you are, the better you are at remaining self-aware in the present moment, thereby dealing with the situation more consciously rather than responding, or, you know, you're responding rather than reacting, let's say. If you lose your ground, you can't be self-aware. You've lost yourself. You become caught up in the body's automatic reactions, the fight and flight response, and all the chemicals that are released in that response, and the mental defenses that come into play. And some of these defenses will be helpful, but some of them may cause more problems than they're worth. Once you can do this pranic practice, this energizing practice, grounding and energizing, then you can move into the next stage. And in that stage, you develop your connection to your higher self, which is the source of your intelligence and intuition. And in this stage, we really advise people to begin working with mantras and the technique of ajapajap. Mantras are very powerful sound vibrations that we can use to influence the mind and the body. And the japajap is a beautiful technique that combines the breath and the mantra to foster a deep connection with the subtle energies within the body. And this practice reveals the underlying forces mapped by yogis and seers, aiding in uncovering unconscious patterns and enhancing spiritual insight. Mantras involve repeating sounds like Om or Soham or Om Namah Shivaya, often using a mala, prayer beads. And a japa jap is just breath and mantra, synchronizing the breath and the mantra to move prana and the mantra in various psychic passages to awaken the chakras. And the practice of a japa jap takes your awareness deep into the unconscious mind, where it harmonizes the various instinctive and spiritual forces, even in its preliminary form, and which is very simple and easy to practice, an extremely powerful, effective meditation practice that can be learned by almost anyone and used for healing and enlightenment. It not only deepens self-awareness, but it activates and harmonizes the subtle energies within the body, and it promotes overall well-being and spiritual growth. The fifth stage takes self-awareness and self-regulation to self-mastery. This is not the final stage on the path, but it's close to the final stage. But it's the final stage in our success path, which involves some of the most advanced techniques of self-realization and enlightenment. And by having mastered prana and integrating mantras with the breath, you're going to become much more attuned to the intricate dynamics of your body-mind and how these fit into the cosmic rhythms. So these advanced practices lead to profound insights into yourself, an understanding of the self and how you fit into the macrocosm, how the microcosm fits into the macrocosm. Because ultimately there was a macrocosm first, and then from that macrocosm came these microcosms that we've evolved, and we are continuously evolving as microcosmic beings within a cosmic, macrocosmic universe. And the more that we practice these more powerful techniques, the more we feel part of and connected to the macrocosm, and we transcend our socially conditioned, constructed self. We start to live in harmony with our highest values and purpose, and we feel that we're part of something great. We feel that we have a purpose and a value. So, and a japa jap is the most important practice for this, really. And in its more advanced stages, we bring it into the spinal cord and would use a lot of chakra meditations along with that. And the chakra practices are very powerful. The chakra practices that we teach initially will help you to balance and align and clean the chakras. And then once the chakras are cleansed and strengthened, then you can tune into the various cosmic energies that those chakras are related to. And then, of course, there are more advanced Kundalini Kriya techniques we teach, which involve very complex breath and energy cleansing techniques, mantras, visualizations, and so on, that purify the body and mind and that take you into very high states of consciousness. And we teach these in our most advanced courses. We do that both live and online. And one of the most important elements of our courses is that we combine theory with practice. And the theory comes from traditional Eastern methods combined with Western depth psychology. Especially, we love Jung, and we use a number of other Western psychological methods as well. And we think these are very important for self-development. The integration of East and West creates a very holistic approach to personal growth, making the knowledge and practices contained in ancient wisdom traditions much more accessible and relevant to contemporary life. And the theory is essential. If you want to know how to practice the techniques and have a clear understanding of their aims and how they fit into the tradition of Eastern self-development, then you need theory. Without theory, you're going to have experiences, but you'll not be able to move forward with a deep sense of what you're doing and where you're going. It's like learning to drive a car. If you don't have the theory, well, you take the car out onto the freeway, you'll have an experience. But how good will that experience be? So the more theory you have about driving a car, the safer and better and more enjoyable your journey will be. All of our courses draw on these time-tested practices, and they provide guided meditations and courses that incorporate theory and practice. So we provide a systematic, graduated approach that ensures that you build a solid foundation before moving on to more advanced practices. And this progression prevents overwhelm and ensures that each stage of development is fully integrated and leading to sustainable growth and lasting transformation. The structured progressive path ensures that each stage of development builds upon the previous one, and it creates a sustainable, powerful journey of self-discovery and self-transformation. If you would like to know more about what we do at Big Shakti, please go to www.bigshakti.com, where you can see all of our products and offerings. And you can sign up for our free newsletter. And when you do sign up, you're entitled to a 15% discount on your first purchase. And subscribers, of course, get generous discounts on all our products from time to time, especially when we release a new course. And we do have courses for everyone, from beginners on the path to yoga teachers and sincere aspirants and psychologists and therapists and health professionals. And many of our courses are downloadable and can be done in your own time. And we also run live online training every year. All of our courses provide you with the opportunity to experience and understand the powers and mysteries of your mind and spirit. Unwind, take a break from your daily activities, and learn how to use different forms of meditation to achieve inner tranquility, happiness, fulfillment, and spiritual awakening. You will learn the keys to a healthy lifestyle, a calm, clear mind, emotional resilience, and spiritual insight.